Today on Midnight Cab, Walker and Krista take a break from the cab business, but somehow mystery and intrigue seem to creep into the trunk of their getaway car. Here's the mystery of the old-time piano.
Beautiful day, and I got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. Yeah, what?
Terrific. I'm just thinking about Martha, that's all. We've never left her alone before.
We've never had a holiday before.
I just hope I remember to tell Paula everything. Oh, Walker.
What?
Oh, no, Martha's favorite, the stuffed Scotty with the missing ear. I think I left it at our place.
Oh, my God. Call the police.
She'll miss it.
Well, when you call Paula tonight, just ask her. If it's not there with 100 pounds of other stuff, and she's got a key to our house, she won't mind going over and getting it.
Yeah.
Are you relaxing?
Yeah.
Having fun?
Yeah.
There's a bluebird on my shoulder. It's a fact. It's natural. It's even satisfactory.
Walker, shut up. I love you. You can't sing, okay?
I'm not insulted, but you've just insulted my mother's entire record collection. You want to hear me sing The Score to Gypsy?
No. I've had to listen to Sonny Boy for over 2 years. That's enough.
I thought you liked Sonny Boy.
I do. I like Sonny Boy very, very much.
And I think there's something in my ear.
Oh, yeah? Is there?
Oh, I think I'm going to crash now.
Got me sitting down again.
May 25th. And so there we were, weaving down a road in Vermont on our way to visit Mr. Piattelli. Mr. Piattelli. I don't think we were quite over the shock about Mr. Piattelli. Maybe that's why we were acting like so giddy. About 3 weeks before, we discovered that he was, well, hooked on heroin, just like that. And this great dark hole kind of opened up beneath our feet. We were paralyzed for a little while. Then Krista sprang into action. She started talking to the doctors in the hospital, phoning clinics, raging around our house about the long waiting list in our healthcare system and that Mr. Piattelli just couldn't wait. Then she went to the accountant, Al Giacchetta, and since he was now the majority shareholder in AP Cabs, instructed him to sell off one of the 8 cab licenses and booked Mr. Piattelli into a private clinic called 12 Oaks, someone had referred her to, in Vermont. Her first executive decision. And now, we were driving up the long sunny driveway to visit him.
Do you see any oak trees?
Do you?
Nah, stands for the 12-step program they use here.
Oh.
Oh.
It's all bullshit.
Oh.
Oh. Nice room. Can I, like, open a window?
They want me to run around the lake. Can you imagine me running around the lake? If it doesn't have ice cubes and rye in it, I don't even want to look at it, let alone run around it.
Yeah, well...
Alfonso, you better just smarten up. We are not spending all this money on this place just for you to come back feeling the same way as when you left. If you remember, you tried to do away with yourself. And if you remember, when we put you on the plane, you were sweating and shivering all at the same time. You looked like a sick dog.
Lousiest plane ride of my entire life.
So, quit complaining and cooperate and get well and come home so that everything can be the same as it was before. Because you've been so stupid. And we miss you.
Yeah. Say, Walker, is she mad at me or does she like me? I can never tell.
Just do it, okay? Everything.
Yeah. They say I got a real good chance, you know?
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, well, because I wasn't on the stuff for too long. I know all they do here is they talk. You know what they want me to do? They want me to write a letter to my mother. My mother's dead. They're all nuts here.
After a couple of hours, we left the happy patient standing amid the flower beds, thrashing away at some bee that was flying around too close to him, promised to see him the next day. We had booked into this bed and breakfast the previous afternoon, an old frame Vermont farmhouse tucked away on 10 acres of meadows and bush at the foot of the Green Mountains.
He looks better. His color's better.
Yeah, I guess so.
Home, sweet home.
Walker?
Yeah?
There's a Bible on our bed.
That's nice.
But there wasn't one before we left, and we locked the door.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's an American thing. They come in and put a Bible on everybody's bed. That's kind of nice when you think about it.
I don't think so. If I lock a door, I want it to stay locked.
Unless you ask for maid service.
Right. But we didn't.
Well, that's because there isn't any. It's just Mr. and Mrs. James letting out rooms in their own home, as far as I can see. So they put a Bible in our room. Maybe they think you need it.
Ha ha.
You know what I hate most about B&Bs?
What?
And thin walls. Want to go for a walk in the woods or something?
No.
So we walked through the meadow instead. There was a path leading from the house uphill into a series of clearings, each one a little higher than the other. The mountains looming green and hazy in the distance. We'd walked to the end of the first meadow the day before, and now Krista, swinging along on her crutches, was game to try for the second meadow above. Just the two of us in the warm sunlight. Our worries about Martha and Mr. Pietelli and the cab company, now Krista was an owner, forgotten for the moment. Just us. Sit here.
Okay.
Whew. You did good.
Yeah.
Smell the pines. I wish we could just sprout roots and stay here forever.
Your furry little branches wrapped around my furry little branches.
Yeah.
Martha would have to be here, too. Do you hear that?
What?
That. Listen.
What a great place. Romantic music provided and everything. I wonder if it's Mrs. James or Mr. You smell like wild flowers or something. There's a piano in the front room.
But it's not coming from the house. It's coming from the woods.
You think so?
Isn't it?
Yeah. We decided, instead of making love in the meadow, to walk over to the woods. Well, Krista decided, and see where the music was coming from. But the woods were too thick and tangled, at least for Krista, so we stood there at the edge, hand in hand, feeling a little like Hansel and Gretel. Then we walked back down the path. And it stopped. There was a second path, too, leading from the house, then running along a creek and into the woods. The piano, not playing, was almost as seductive as when it was playing. It had left a kind of hole in the air. We looked at each other, then began to walk back up the second path into the woods. We'd gone just a little ways into the trees when we came across a sign at the edge of the path that read, "Private Property." That was enough for Krista, who's not big on dank, shadowy places anyway.
That means keep out, Walker.
No, it doesn't. It just means only guests and no one else.
No, it doesn't. Walker!
Krista stayed behind. I went around a bend, down a slope, around the next bend, and stopped. I wasn't sure whether I'd heard some twigs crack off to the side or rustling or nothing at all, but I felt, was certain, that I was being watched. Watched, now in silence, from down some long, shadowy corridor in the damp gloom. And then, some darker shadow, shape, materializing just there. Then Mr. James came walking up the path behind me.
Your wife reads better than you do, friend.
Oh, hi there, Mr. James. Just, exploring.
Could have sworn that sign says private.
Yeah, well, sorry. I'll go back now.
Oh, say, I don't mean to be snippy.
No, no, you're right.
I don't mean to be in-houses unfriendly.
It's okay.
See, if you poke your head in the kitchen, I bet you just might find a piece of blueberry pie in there.
Great. Mr. James?
Yep.
Beautiful piano. I mean, who's ever playing up there in the woods?
Good day.
Why they're always referred to as your friendly host. The guy's hammered. Jeez, it's the middle of the day.
I thought he looked upset. Even before he saw me. He sure was afterward.
I asked him about the piano. He didn't say anything. His face just kind of went gray.
Did you see anything besides him?
No.
Well, whatever's bothering him, it's none of our business. It's private property.
For some reason, I was restless all that night. Maybe it was because the other four guests had left that day. It was Sunday night, and now there was only Krista and me in the house and Mr. and Mrs. James sleeping somewhere. I kept waking up, falling asleep, dozing fitfully, waking again. My eyes watching the moonlight and shadows flutter against our window, drowsily taking in the flowered wallpaper, a small wooden washstand with a pitcher and basin, a mirror hanging on the wall with old rippled glass in it. Slowly, slowly falling back to sleep. Then, wide awake, because there was a man, dappled in shadow and moonlight, standing against the wall. A very large man, his face half turned away. I lifted my head up, stared straight at him, and then he moved at me, disappeared into the bathroom. Krista was fast asleep beside me, her blonde hair half hiding her face, her breathing just a whisper. We wouldn't have made it to the door if that guy didn't want us to, and if he didn't want us to, she'd wake up soon enough anyway. So I crept as quietly as possible out of the bed, put the pitcher and wash basin carefully on the chair, and picked up the washstand. And waited, heart pounding, breath catching in my throat. Nothing. No noise. No rustle of clothes or metallic scrape of a weapon. Just silence.
Hey, you. I'll give you like 30 seconds. You just walk peacefully across the room and go out the door.
More silence. Washstand at the ready, I took a step and peeked through the open door. Just an ordinary bathroom, sink, toilet, tub, no shower. And one wall of cupboards facing the toilet. Except now, the cupboards, the whole wall, had swung open and was facing me.
Walker? What? What are you standing there like that for?
Like what?
Naked, with a washstand in your hands.
Well, don't get nervous or anything, but I'm going to get dressed. There was this guy in our room who went into the bathroom, and it looks like he went out a secret door.
What? Are you kidding me? What, Walker? What are you talking about? What man? Now? In our room now? What? Are you crazy?
I'm just going to, like, see where it leads.
Walker.
The cupboards had been built right over a door. The old door frame torn off and wallpapered right to the edge of the cupboards. That's why it wasn't noticeable. And just beyond this secret door, a steep, narrow stairway led down into the dark. I stepped down, holding my hands stretched out in front of me, hoping not to bump into something big and psychotic in that inky dark. Stepped down and down, then felt a door at the bottom, the doorknob, turned it. The door opened. And moonlight fell across my face. In what Jason James had described as the summer kitchen. A large, low-ceilinged room attached between the main house and the drive shed behind. I'd come out, a small wooden door right beside an old brick fireplace. Into silence. I turned. Towards the two steps up into the main part of the house. I knew where it was coming from. The old upright piano in the front room. Not from the woods, but from the house this time. I stepped into the kitchen. Then across the hall and into the dining room. Around the few small tables, empty now, little sprigs of wilted flowers in the middle of each one, and then look through the doorway into the parlor. The piano stood against the far wall. It was still resonating with the last chord, but no one was there. I walked across the moon-splashed room, put my hand on the piano, faint vibration, looked around, no one. Except a woman was smiling down at me from a photograph framed and placed on top of the piano. She held a young boy in her arms, and her smile was full of dazzling warmth and life, and the little boy clung to her neck with all his might. His eyes were half closed, his face a little blurred, wincing, as if from the sun, or as if he had just stopped crying.
Yes?
Oh, hi, Mrs. James.
What can I do for you, Mr. Devereux?
Well, that wasn't me playing the piano, you know. It wasn't me that woke you up.
Oh, I could get you a glass of milk if you like. Are you having trouble sleeping? Warm milk is the very thing. If you just come into the kitchen, it never fails.
Mrs. James, didn't you hear someone playing the piano?
Well, I heard you, and that's why I came downstairs. And I should have corrected you before. I'm not Mrs. James.
You're not?
No. I'm Mrs. Struthers. I'm Mr. James's sister.
Oh. I just assumed, because the brochure said your host, Mr. and Mrs.
I'm trying to do my best. This is not what I normally do. I'm sorry if everything is a mess.
No, it's not. It's, where's Mrs. James, then?
She's not here.
Don't cry. Jeez, Mrs.
Mrs. Struthers. Ida.
Mrs. Struthers. Ida. Can I show you something?
See, these stairs? They lead right up into our bathroom. Now, I don't want to upset you or anything, but just a few minutes ago, I woke up and there was this man in our room.
These are the old servant stairs. You see, in the old days, they had servant quarters. That's where your room is now. And so the servants could come and go this way without disturbing the family.
Mrs. Struthers, Ida, there was this man in our room, a very big man. Now, that's illegal. That's terrifying. My wife is probably hysterical right now, and he could still be in the house. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Oh, don't cry.
She's dead, and I can't do it all myself.
Who's dead?
My sister-in-law, Mrs. James. She's dead. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I mean, about the stairs and the man. Believe me, he won't bother you anymore. Now, there's a bolt on the inside of that door. Perhaps your wife might feel better if... Oh, I'm so sorry. It's just too much. It's too much.
Mrs. Struthers.
It's too much.
Jeez. Krista, honey, have you got something in front of the bathroom door? Could you move it?
No.
Everything's okay. There's no one here but me. Hello? Thanks.
Did you catch up to him?
No. They could have gone outside. Probably he's outside, a long ways away.
Who was playing the piano?
I don't know.
Walker, my crutches are gone.
Gone? Stolen? What kind of person would steal someone's crutches? And if he wanted her crutches, what else did he want? Krista crawled back up in the bed, looking even smaller than usual and frightened. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. We were relatively secure in our room now, and Ida, as overwrought as she was, didn't seem particularly concerned about the man. She'd said, "Believe me, he won't bother you anymore." So Krista and I decided to stay bolted in our room until morning, then ask, demand Mr. James find Krista's crutches, then we get out of there. We lay there on the bed together, and finally, slowly, Krista fell back to sleep. But I didn't. I ran everything over and over in my mind. The Bible, sitting on the bed, took on a more sinister light now. What was the message? What was someone trying to say? And Mrs. James was dead. Was that her, smiling down from that photograph? And Mr. James is drunk. And Ida is what? Overwhelmed? And who was playing the piano? And most of all, who was that hulking giant of a man?
Don't give it another thought, dear. You'll find them. Here's some nice, fresh coffee.
They're worth a lot of money.
They're custom-made for me. I have to have them back.
He'll find them. Now, what would you like for breakfast? Room service today.
That's very kind of you, Ida, but if someone stole the crutches, which is what happened, there's no guarantee Mr. James is going to find them this morning, is there?
Well, I don't know.
I'll go talk to him. Be right back.
Bacon and eggs? Pancakes?
Are you okay?
Yeah, Yes.
It's all right, you know.
No, it's not.
Ida, who was that man in our room?
My brother. Doesn't want me to say.
I looked for Mr. James inside and outside the house, but I couldn't find him. Ida said she'd stay with Krista. Krista seemed more intent now on making Ida feel better than worrying about herself. Ida said, everything's all right, nothing to worry about now. So I decided to make the quick 10-minute drive into the nearest town and see if I could buy a pair of wooden crutches just in case. They'd have to do. I could adjust them a bit, but one needed to be 3 inches shorter than the other. If worse came to worse, Krista would just have to make do until we got home to Toronto. And there was another reason why I wanted to drop into the local hospital anyway.
Good morning.
Morning.
Is it possible to buy crutches here?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, you can get them at Regan's Discount Drugs, just this side of Montpelier, right on the highway. It's in a big mall. You can't miss it.
My wife, she twisted her ankle.
Oh.
Yeah, we're staying at the James Bed and Breakfast. Do you know it?
Sure. Everybody knows everybody around here.
Too bad about Mrs. James.
Mm-hmm.
This may sound crazy, but did she ever use crutches herself?
Oh, yes. Once the cancer got into her hips. Oh, the poor dear. She was the nicest woman. Everybody adored her.
Yes, I could tell. I mean, I saw a photograph of her and her son.
Oh, Danny. Poor Danny. I expect he'll miss her most of all.
Unlike my speedy trip into town, I took my time driving to Montpelier, bought some crutches just in case, and drove back. And it didn't particularly alarm me or even surprise me when I discovered Krista wasn't there in our room or anywhere else in the house. No one was. I walked back behind the house along the path by the creek past the private property sign, deeper into the woods. And it was just as that nurse at the local hospital had described. The path opened up into a clearing, and there, sitting in the middle, was a cedar-shaped cabin with a long, graceful screened-in porch that the locals called Danny's Place. I crossed the clearing to the porch and peered in through the screen door. There was a skylight up on the roof, and the sun streamed in and bathed the piano in a soft light, and playing the piano, his huge shoulders hunched up like a bird, his head tilted to the one side, was our night prowler. And sitting beside him was this pretty young blonde woman, like a pixie. Her aluminum crutches beside her, her hair haloed by the sun.
Wonderful, Danny. That was just great. Oh, hi, Walker.
Hi.
This is my new friend, Danny.
Guessed as much. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Danny's lonely. He wants me to stay. But I've explained to him that I have a little daughter waiting at home.
Right. A little daughter at home.
That's right. Danny can play every piece his mother plays. He can play it right back. He knows every note. If you play him a song just once, he can play it note perfect.
But my mom, she's not here right now. She'll be back soon, okay? Okay, my mom and me, we play the piano. That's what we do.
That's right.
Hello, Mr. James.
That's why I wasn't alarmed for your safety, you see. Danny wouldn't hurt
anyone.
A flea.
Right. A nurse in town, she told me the same thing.
I can play this one. I can play this one for you.
Okay, Danny. Let's hear it.
He's going to make it.
I do, too.
You know when I knew? When he made his promise never, ever to tell Martha when she gets older what had happened to him, or he'd fire us both.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be heading home.
Uh-huh.
What are you thinking about?
Danny.
Right.
His mother used to read him Bible stories all the time. That's why he left that Bible. For me. You know, they're going to have to tell him sometime his mother's died.
They just can't have him wandering around so lonely and upset.
They're all upset. Look at Mr. James and his booze. And Ida can't handle the house or Danny like Mrs. James could. It'll take time. They'll get it sorted out. I hope.
You know what Mr. James told me? For 25 years, they didn't think their son could do much of anything. He can't even shave himself or look after himself in any way. Then one night, they heard the piano, and they got up, and there was Danny sitting there playing all the tunes his mother played. He'd never touched the piano before. It was like a miracle.
Idiot savant.
I hate that expression.
Yeah, well, me too.
We were in his room. That's what those stairs were for. If any guests arrive unexpectedly, then they could take Danny out the back way. Everyone knows him around here, but the Jameses, they thought for paying guests, well, if Danny's not playing the piano, he's usually just sitting in a chair, rocking, and kind of moaning to himself, I guess. That's what Ida said. So, that's what the other house is for. Danny's other home. His mother had everything organized, ran everything. He adores her. She's his whole life. Well, was.
Krista, it's not our family. Martha is our family. Maybe even Mr. Piattelli.
I know. Why is there so much pain in the world, Walker? Why is that?
The Mystery of the Old-Time Piano was written by James W. Nichol. David Ferry was Walker Devereaux. Jacqueline Samuta was Krista. Howard Jerome was Mr. Piattelli. Frank Perry was Mr. James. Marcia Bennett was Ida. Lynn Darragon was the nurse. Chris Benson was Danny. The recording engineer was Greg DeClute, with sound effects by Matt Wilcott. The production assistant was Nina Callahan. The music was composed by Milan Kimlicka, and Midnight Cab was produced and directed by Bill Howell. You can hear today's episode, The Mystery of the Old-Time Piano, again on CBC Radio this Saturday night at 6:30 in most of Canada, 7:30 in Atlantic Canada, and 8 o'clock in Newfoundland.